And then we're going to talk a little bit about children. You know, God thinks a lot about children. All right, we got all those picked up? All right, so if you got your card picked up, that's fine. If you still need one picked up, let them know. We're going to be in Matthew 18 to start with. And this was Children's Day of the contest. This was week number 4. So far, it's wide open for somebody to win. Haven't had lots of visitors. So it's wide open for people to win. Hope you'll try to get some visitors the last couple of weeks. Only have 2 more weeks to go. Anyway, so it's Children's Day, and I was musing and contemplating and reflecting in my mind how to begin a message, how to begin a lesson or a session about children. And most know, if you've been around here at all, you've known Children's Church was my home for many, many years. In those days, it was fun, and it was exciting, and it was thrilling, and it was great to spend time with the children. All the sensations, and there's a lot of sensations in Children's Church. Both, you can hear it, you can see it, you can feel it. I mean, it's all there. You can smell it, it's all there. The high spirits, the loud sounds, deafening singing. Those were days gone by, yesteryears. But you know, as we grow older, we begin to like peace, and like serenity, and like stability, and like, a sedate surrounding. And I love children. I love all my grandchildren. I love the children that just come through here. I just don't like all that loud sound anymore. Somebody told me that's the price you get when you get old. Well, I guess I'm getting there. Because I still love the children, but I can only take so much because all that noise and all those sounds and all those decibels. I mean, lots of decibels. But one of the brightest and liveliest and rosiest, if you will, qualities or traits or properties about children is their ease of faith. I mean, they just trust Jesus, I mean, with no issues at all. There's no obstacles. There's no barricades. I mean, it's easy. The belief, they just exude trust and belief. One of their brightest, loveliest qualities or traits in children is how easily they'll trust Jesus. In fact, you have to be careful when you're preaching or speaking or teaching or even speaking to young children about salvation. They just naturally believe everything you tell them. I mean, when they're children, they even believe in Santa Claus. I mean, they believe in the Easter Bunny. They believe in all that stuff. They think that stuff's real because somebody has told them. So it's important when you talk to children and preach to children and deal with children about salvation, you have to be real careful about how you deal with children because they'll believe everything you say. How many have had children that you told them something a week later, they come back and say, well, you said, and you're thinking, when did I say that? They remember, because they have a lock and key in there. And they remember everything, and so everything we say to children is real quick. They have no doubts. They have no misgivings. They have no filter. Just quick, free, unadulterated trust and belief. Now, Jesus hinted at that and pointed towards that when he said this in Matthew 18, verse 1. He says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, talk about children, and God loves children. So, and we're going to have several points, and it's not even close to being exhaustive, but we'll cover some main points. First off, children are important to God. Children are important to God. We can see it in several ways, in several verses in the Bible. First off, God commanded married couples to have children. He commanded one of the commands to Adam and Eve and to all those that married after them was to have children. We can see the importance that God places upon children, His desire, His design, and yea, His directive for us to have children. Genesis 1:28 says this, "And God blessed them," now them is Adam and Eve, "and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply." Be fruitful and multiply. And He also said this, "And replenish the earth." And replenish the earth and subdue it and so on and so forth. Now that word replenish, I got thinking about these words. You know, I like looking up words and kind of studying these words. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That word replenish, if I read a few other verses in the Bible where that word is found, though it's it doesn't say replenish, has another word. That the translators put in there. If we can see some other verses in the Bible, it'll help us understand what that word replenish means. Genesis 6:11, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was," here's our word, filled with violence. And so when God said replenish the earth, He meant to fill it up. I mean, just fill the earth. Psalm 81:10, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill." There's our word. I will fill it. And so when God says replenish the earth, what He was asking them to do was fill up the earth. I mean, put a lot of children out there. Psalm 104:24, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works, in wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." So from these verses, it's easy to see what God was asking. It's easy to see what God was wanting, what His desire was, what His directive was. What He wanted them to do was replenish earth and have lots of children. I mean, fill it up. You say, well, that directive was given to Adam and Eve. I mean, that was just the first parents way before the flood. So, that might not apply to us. Oh, okay. Well, how about this one? Genesis 9:1. Now, this is after the flood. This is to our great, 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 great bunch of greats, a father, Noah. So Genesis 9:1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them." So now He's not just talking to Adam and Eve. He's talking to Noah and his wife. He's talking to all his children, his three boys and their wives. "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So again, God has this idea. I want you to fill up the earth. And this was to Noah and his sons after the flood. He wanted them to fill the earth, to make it full, like a gas station, fill her up. He wanted everything. He wanted children all over the world so it filled up the earth. Does that give you the idea that He wants us to have children? He wants parents, He wants married couples to have children. That's His desire. That was His plan. His plan was for one husband, one wife to have children. So we can see that children are important to God because first off, God commanded married couples to have children. That was His directive. Secondly, God wanted folks held accountable for the harm of children. God wanted folks held accountable for the harm of children. You know, some of the most familiar verses in the entire Bible, you talk to anybody and they've heard this before. Now, they might not even know that it's Bible, but they'll have heard these phrases. You ever heard this? Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You ever heard those? I mean, most everybody has. And again, many people probably don't even know it came from the Bible. But it's in there. Now, it's interesting if you read just a few verses before and get the context of what God's talking about. It's about life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You think, well, that means if there's some trouble between some folks and the guy loses his eye in it, then the other guy's got to give up his eye. That's what you'd think. if you just read those. But let's read the verses prior to it and get the context and see what it's saying. Exodus 21:22, it says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child. So here you got a woman, she's pregnant, she's carrying a child, and these men are striving together. And he says, if you're striving together, and why are you doing this? Why you're wrestling around? Why you're fighting and doing all this stuff? Why you're doing this? If you happen to hit her, I mean, the fight runs over and hits her, and some damage comes to her. It says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her. That's talking about the lady has an early abortion because of this. So her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow if the baby's okay. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine, and if any mischief follow. So if nothing happens, and then it's up to the husband to tell him what he owes. I hate to be in that position. I'd hate to be on either side of that. But anyway, if any mischief follows, so something happens to the baby, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wood for wood, or wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So he's talking about a child inside the woman's womb. And if something bad happens to that baby, then he says what's going to happen to the folk that caused this, they're going to give life for life. If the baby dies, they're going to give their life for it. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And so unlike today, unlike current times, unlike these days, God wanted children in the womb protected. He loved children so much that he wanted them protected from the very beginning. He wanted them kept safe. He wanted them free from harm. So God wanted folks held accountable for the harm of children, even if the child was still in the womb. God was trying to watch out for children. Now, our courts today have constantly and consistently and commonly defend abortion upon demand. In all places over 40 years, there's hardly any exceptions. But did you know there is one? There is one in a courtroom where they actually take into consideration a baby inside a mother's womb. Most of the time, they don't consider it at all. They call it a fetus. So they don't feel like they have to say they're killing somebody. The same court which deemed abortion the woman's right for her own body, they don't understand that body inside the woman's body is another body, another person, a separate person. So the same court that deemed abortion a woman's right for her own body, they also have this in there. It's called the Unborn Victims of Violence Act of 2004. It was enacted by the 108th United States Congress, introduced in the House as H.R. 1997 by Melissa Hart. She was a Republican from Pennsylvania in May 7th, 2003. The committee, consideration by House Judiciary, passed the House on February 26, 2004, passed the Senate on March 25, 2004, signed into law by President then George W. Bush on April 1, 2004. My wife and I's anniversary. But they signed this in act. Now, this is basically what it says. The Unborn Victims of Violence Act of 2004 is a United States law, so it's a federal law, which recognizes an embryo or a fetus in utero as a legal victim. Well, let me ask you this. If you can be a victim, does that mean you're a person? Look like it to me. state law which recognizes an embryo or fetus in utero, that means still inside the womb, as a legal victim if they are injured or killed during the commission of any of over 60 listed federal crimes of violence. The law defines child in utero as a member of the species Homo sapiens at any stage of development who is carried in the womb. Did you get that? They say it's an embryo, and they say it's a fetus, but then they say it's a Homo sapien. Isn't that like a person? So in that one law, the courts recognize that the baby inside the womb is a person, but generally they don't. But God, He wanted to protect the children even if they weren't even born yet. So God commanded married couples to have children. God wanted folks held accountable for the harm of children. God called people to His work from the womb or as children. God called some folks even before they were born, others when they were very, very young. There's quite a few. I'll just list a few of them. John the Baptist, Luke 1:15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." And then it says this, "even from his mother's womb." Now that's either at birth or maybe just a little bit before. I can see it from both perspectives. But either way, it was from a child. God called him into service from a child. I mean, very young, as a baby. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. He said he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and called him even from the womb or just barely after it. Now, Jeremiah, there's no mixing on that one. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." He said, "Before I formed thee." I mean, this is before conception. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordered thee a prophet unto the nations." He separated him and ordained him as a prophet unto the nation, and that was really early, again, even before conception. God thinks highly of children. I spoke to Timothy this week.